All right, let's take our Bible and turn to the book. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 14. I'm going to read one other verse in the Old Testament. This will be the title verse, but Luke chapter 14. When you find Luke 14, verse 16, we'll start there. When you find that, you can stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 14, verse 16. But I'm going to read, just before I read that, I'm going to read this. The title of the lesson tonight is this. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 11 says this, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." The idea I want you to think about this is, why is the house of God forsaken? Now Luke chapter 14 verse 16, I'm down through 23. Then said he unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." And I'm sorry for laughing, but he didn't say have an excuse. He said he married, now he can't do it. So, verse 21. "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto him, Servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Father, I pray you'll bless this lesson tonight, message, whatever, that it would be your word and you would help us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I'm going to get back to that verse there in a few moments, but what I'm going to do is I have a little four-point outline here, just something I want to share with you, that with the idea of why is the house of God forsaken. And I know Nehemiah, they're talking about building the building and all that, but I'm saying to you, as far as we have a great crowd tonight, but many, many churches across this country are forsaking and not going there. And this is not all the things, but this is some of the things that I've put together here that will help us. Number one, the house of God is forsaken because we are not worshiping the Lord. In John chapter 4, verse 24, and a lot of turning places tonight, that's why I guess I'm calling it a lesson. But you know that's the story where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she's talking about worshiping, and they worship in the mountains and all those things. But in chapter 4 and verse 24, I believe it is, if I can find it here, I'm moving through my Bible. He says, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Matter of fact, Jesus said in these first two or three chapters, one place he says in chapter 3, verse 7, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I must be lifted up, talking about the cross and all that. Then he says to her, you must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So point number one of why our house of God is forsaken, why churches aren't being what they are, is people aren't truly worshiping the Lord. Now, you can say to me, and I've even said this, and I believe this, if you in this context, you don't have to be in the church house in the building to worship the Lord. You can worship the Lord leaning on a staff. You can worship the Lord building and bending and all those kind of things. But you cannot be a true worshiper in spirit and truth if you're disobeying God's command to be in the house of God. And so Matthew 28 and all the other 4 or 5 times that the Great Commission is given, God tells us we're to preach the gospel, get them saved, get them in church, get them baptized, and belong to the church. Well, that means somebody has to be in the house of God. So we're not truly, I run into people from time to time, and I'm sure you have too. I had a cousin years ago, even back in the 70s, who was big on this rant and rave, but I don't believe in organized religion. And I've heard that come up a few times here and there today. They probably don't, because the world we live in today doesn't believe in organized anything. I mean, it's all just every which way. But the truth is, it's not organized in the way they said it. We're an organism. We're a living thing that God has created. We're His bride. We're His building. We're His body. And so we need to worship the Lord. And we cannot baptize people unless we're baptizing them into the local body, the local church. It's a picture of the gospel. Acts chapter 2, we talk a lot about continuing on the work of God. So people aren't really worshiping the Lord. Now let me say it this way, and we're going to go quickly through these, so you can go rejoice and all that. And and I'm trying to keep my mind on this. But anyhow, but here's the deal. When we worship God, we see who He is. Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Our vision of God determines our worship, and so many people in this world today have watched too many television shows and programs where they've created God and Jesus and made them the good old boy or made them something lower than God. He's high and lifted up. If we truly know who He is, we'll worship Him. I didn't attend church on any kind of a regular basis before I got saved, maybe two or three times a year if somebody tricked me into going or went to see somebody or something like that. When I got saved that Sunday morning, I missed that Sunday night. And no, I didn't lose my salvation. I just got saved. I was a new babe in Christ. Didn't know all the things you're supposed to do. The next week, I got baptized that Sunday morning. That Sunday night, I went to the drive-in movie. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. I understand that. But back in those days, I guess they still had them. And so, but I remember I'd been saved about 2 weeks, and me and my friend Dennis were sitting there watching this movie outside, Creature from the Black Lagoon. I mean, I remember the movie. It was a horror picture, probably tame compared to today's standards. But anyway, we're sitting there watching that, and I'm looking at him. I'm thinking, I wonder what's going on in church tonight. I've just been saved two weeks, I think. And he said, I don't know. He said, but I think we'll go next Sunday night. And I started going. I hadn't been back to the Black Lagoon in a long way forever. But I'm telling you, it wasn't because. I even remember I had a couple of girls that, one of them was a cousin, one of them wasn't, Jamie, but hang on. A couple of weeks in this thing, when we do something on Sunday night, I said, we will. After church, God started changing my heart. I started going to church because God had come in and things were different. I wanted to worship the Lord. He became first place in my life, and it was a change for me. And so I'm saying to you, though, people, why the house of God forsaken? Because people not worship the Lord. Number two, we're going to go quickly. Another reason why is Luke 14, where you at? People are not working for the Lord. That's why the house of God is forsaken. He said there in that passage just read, he said he asked for a meal, and they said, well, one of them said, I just bought some land. I got to go look at it. He said, I got to go see it. Can I share something with you? I'd say it'd probably be there till the next day. I mean, just bought it. He wanted to go see it. It's going to be there the next day. Then another guy said, I bought some oxen. I want to prove them. Well, they'll be there the next day too, but I'm sure you could put off plowing with those ox for one day. The other guy said, I just got married and I cannot. He's the only honest one in the bunch. He was no longer the boss of his home. No, just kidding with you. Another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Well, bring her with you. The truth of the matter is they just didn't want to come. And God said, okay, there's some folks just don't want to come, but we need to be working at it because we need to have people in the house of God. And that's why we went bus routes, but that's not the only reason. And that's not the only way, but we need to compel that. We need to have it in our mind, in our being, that we, every one of us, we means us, not just me and not just you, but we together need to be having in our mind that we are responsible to get people into the house of God because we are to work at it. And I thank God for that. And so he tells us here we're to do these things. Some people don't come because they don't worship the Lord. They don't understand what it means to worship the Lord. Others are forsaking the house of God because we're not working at bringing people and getting people to come back. Number three, some people are not coming to church or forsaking the house of God because they're wounded. Wounded. 3 John 9 talks about Diotrephes loving to have the preeminence. I'll give you a little thought here. Some people don't come to church, and you're here, so it can't be you, although it may have been you or could be you or could be me in the future. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. Therefore, he run people off. People didn't always come because of that. But when wounded people, there's two things. There are innocently wounded, and there are intentional woundings. A lot of people, and the one that's the most tragic are those who are the innocents who are wounded. Because somebody, some family member or friend or somebody in their family or church, some did wrong or got mad or got upset and they get out of church, therefore they take people with them. How many of you have ever heard stories of some of these preachers that had larger churches in days gone by and preached and they'd give illustrations like this? So-and-so got mad at me or got mad at this and they wouldn't stay in church and they had three beautiful little kids and they all grew up and became blah, 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 blah. You know, you say, well, that truly happens. When people won't stay faithful to God and do the thing God wants them to do, they suffer. Innocent kids are suffering. We talk, television comes on and news comes on, and we talk about the people starving in different parts of the country. That's true. I understand that. I have empathy and for that, and I wish to God we could do more, but I won't do it through those programs because I don't trust them, only through our missionaries and things like that. But we have people all over this country that are not living for God because somebody got their neck bowed, their back bowed, or got upset about something, didn't know the whole story, but quit on God. You can't quit serving the Lord because of what men and women do, because if you do that, you'll never live for God. You might as well not come out of your doors, I mean, you know. And so, but people do that, and then some people are intentionally hurting and wounding people. Now, I'm not pointing, I don't even have any person in my mind, so don't get panicky about that, but I'm saying I know it's true because I have Bible examples of it. Diotrephes, for example. I met with a man this week about another situation, about a church, not this church, but something else, to talk to him. And while I was talking to him, I remember he was asking about some preachers preaching there and some different things, and I remember thinking, nobody's ever going to pass this church that I know because this man, although would probably be a great man in the community, everybody probably thinks so, but from listening to him talk, he's not going to let somebody pastor that church. I've been around the block a few times, Bill Long, and I've seen these things. And there's somebody's leading a church, no matter where it's at, somebody's in there, and they have this idea. And so they're intentional. This is a positive message. Stay with me. Some people, why are the house of God forsaken? And I understand cultures. Listen, we think about England and what it is now in Europe and France, which basically kicked God out in the history of all these kind of things, and we see those cultures. But there are still people getting saved and churches in those communities because there's always a faithful remnant God's working with. God sometimes works in great areas. I remember in the Philippines, I know there's still a lot of them getting saved because of all the, they had Bible background through the Catholicism, by the way, but for years, thousands have got saved over there. I know parts of Africa that's happened. Other places, God has moved around. The Holy Spirit of God has done those kind of things. At one time, it was that in America. For years, we were having revivals. People say, it's a little harder. We're a, I say, post-Christian generation. It never was all Christian, but you understand what I'm saying. We're changing, just like Europe. Muslims and Islam is the fastest growing religion out there, and besides Wicca and all them kind of things. It's crazy. People are hearing and believing all these things, but God is still God, and the faithful remnant, those are saved, still need to be faithful to the house of God. So, because of the worshiping and working and the wounded, by the way, I have these little sayings that y'all think are silly, but help me remember things. Years ago, I put down four reasons why people ought to miss church or can miss church. Number one is vocation. Every now and then, somebody has a job that they have to work on Sunday. Now, I think God knows that sometimes that just happens. You have to work on Sunday. Preachers do. I'm kidding. Fortunately, it's in the church, but I mean like jobs, but I surely wouldn't keep a job where I work Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I have some time where I go to church where I'd be changing that job. But my point is sometimes because of jobs and calling vocation. And then people take vacations. Nothing wrong with a vacation if you can afford it and take it. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to miss church somewhere else, but at least in your church, you probably might, if you go out of town, it's hard to be faithful here. So we understand vocation, vacation. And then sometimes there's vaccination. That means you're sick, and you have to miss because you're up there trying out all the hospital rooms like Donnie did. But he'd rather be here, I'll tell you that right now. So there's vacation. And then sometimes it's because of visitation. What I mean by that is you're at the mortuary and you can't come because somebody's visiting you. But there's one other, a fifth one I thought of, and that's this, vexation. The Bible says about Lot that his soul was vexed with this evil world and generation. That word vex has the idea of wearing down with toil and constantly going at it. We live in a world that is very vexing for the Christian. And so we have to guard against these things all up in our life. Then number four, the last one here, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Most of you can quote it. Brother Ferguson quoted this morning. I'm going to quit studying my message. I go to his class and he gives me all my verses and everything. Hebrews 10:25, and then I want to maybe read something to 1 Corinthians and Thessalonians. So, 4 points. Number one, why is the house of God forsaken? We're talking about this church, not Nehemiah's, but we use that text. We are not worshiping the Lord, because if we truly were worshiping the Lord, we'd be in His house. Christ died for the church. It's His body. He loved it. And so we would be here. Number two, we're not working at it. People fall out when people, by the way, those who are working to keep people will be faithful, and those they get in here. So that working has a twofold purpose there. And then also, those who are wounded, we need to heal the wounded, try to get the wounded, try to watch out for them. If you've been wounded, give it to God. He's worth more than your being hurt about other things. You're never going to solve everybody's problem. Everybody is never going to, we try to say this in the right kind of way, nobody will ever agree with everything everybody has. But we can agree on Him being right. Amen. And so, and then number four, we the house of God is because we're not waiting for the Lord. Look at Hebrews 10:25. And notice the verse that says this, not forsaking, there's that verse we started with, the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord, the rapture, the return of the Lord. So what is He saying? If we were truly waiting on Him, we would be in the house of God. He said there, He said, not forsaking the house of God, and more so as we realize His return is getting closer. I mean, here's the deal. If the Lord comes back, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're here or at the pool room or wherever you're at, if you're saved, you're going to be there. But it'd be a lot more fun to be in church, right? We all go up together and race so you can get there first. But I said that to say this. When I got saved, especially Lee Robertson and some of the other ones, he was known for messages on faith, but also for the second coming. Just about every other sermon I heard him preach is about the Lord coming back. And what that done was drove him and his church and other churches to get busy about the work of the Lord. It's still true today, folks. Look at, I'll just give you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll be closing with these, just a couple more verses here. And verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We should be more involved in church, more involved in the things of God, and asking God to help us and be faithful in doing these things. Our mentality of the world, our culture in the world, our society, the things that are happening, we saw this years ago, when a lot of people didn't work on Sunday. You know what I'm talking about. There was a day when stores were closed on Sundays and grocery stores and all those kind of things. I'm not fussing. If you have to work on Sundays, and I'm always very careful when I go out and eat on a Sunday, I don't walk into the restaurant and say, bless God, there was a time we didn't open restaurants on a Sunday. I'm not that naive. They'll put something in your food. But if they would vote to close them, I would vote for it, and I would not go back there and patronize it. I would help them. But what I'm saying is there was a time when it was like that. There was a time when people, even lost people, we didn't even attend church, but Sunday was a day of rest. They didn't even like us playing ball or something on a Sunday afternoon. It wasn't a religious thing. It was in our makeup, in our DNA, that God had founded this nation that way. And so all that's changed. Ball games and everything else going all the time, job, and I'm not griping at any of that. I'm saying this, if we're not careful, us that truly are saved and are faithful will get caught up in that same thing. And we need to be faithful to the Lord. Why is the house of God forsaken? We don't truly worship Him. If we truly worshiped Him, catch this, and then we would be doing what He would be doing. And He was constantly in the temple, in the house, preaching the Word of God. And He started the church. We would be not being wounded. I know that's the third one, but we would work on getting that solved, getting that straightened back out. We would be working for Him. And by the way, I'm trying to close, but work is not a substitute for worship. It's part of it. We're not just to be busy, busy, busy for no reason. We're to have a purpose and a reason and the body. God knows what we can handle. And one of the battles that a lot of us older folks, I'm starting to say that, Brother Wayne, some of us older folks are facing is this. My wife asked me this afternoon something in the car, and we were praying about some things. I said, honey, I'm praying about it. I'm asking the Lord. I said, you know the battle I have? And I don't know, Brother Larry, I don't know if any of the other guys, but I'll be praying about something, about wanting to do. And while I'm praying, in the back of my heart and mind, there's something going on. I realize what it is. My body's saying, no, no. I told her that today. I said, Jamie, I believe the Holy Spirit just reveals something to me. Because she'll ask me to pray about things, and I'll be praying about it. But I'm hurting. I'm looking for sympathy, but there's some pain in my body all the time, legs and things. So that has started mentally affecting me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Give me a witness here. Yes, Brother Law. I mean, it isn't that we don't want to love God and do the right things we're doing, but there is something there that's not what it used to be. I'm too old to cut mustard. Didn't have anything in one. All right. But then, also, we're not waiting on the Lord, because if we were waiting on the Lord, we would be anticipating His return, knowing that our family and friends and neighbors aren't ready. And we need to live in such a way that honors God. And that would be good. Bow your heads, please. We're gonna go ahead and